Welcome. Let's join best-selling author Fred Kuhn as he interviews our next guest expert.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Our subject today is resumes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And our guest is Andrew Coe, an executive recruiter, executive career coach, credentialed global career development facilitator, and co-author of a book called Leveraging LinkedIn for Job Search Success 2018. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Fred.
So our topic today is resumes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we both, as recruiters, have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right? That is true.
So let's just take some of the basics of the thing, all right? Length. What should a length be? I mean, everybody says, oh, one page, two page, three page. What do you think length right. of a resume should be?
So we've all heard before that the rule of thumb is two pages, right? And that's fine to try to stick with that. But, you know, if a recruiter, if we get a qualified candidate that has, you know, more than two pages, we're not going to balk at it, right? I mean, it's fine. We're more concerned about, are they qualified? Do they have the qualifications? You know, do they have that executive presence? Is it an executive looking resume? Is it free from, you know, all these red flags and these errors, right? If it goes over two pages to three pages, I don't think that's a big deal, right? Of course, there are plenty of resume formats where if it's a government job, it's a federal resume. Yeah.
Oh, that's a very different subject. And then they could be 40 pages.
Maybe even more, right? Yeah. So for the civilian resume, I mean, yeah, the rule of thumb is two pages, and it's fine to try to stick with that. But if you happen to go over two pages, yeah, I think it's fine as long as you've got your qualifications and it's clearly identifiable. It's a professional-looking resume. That's really what's important, as long as you're getting your qualifications out there.
Your competencies fall into functional, technical, and behavioral, and those need to be very clearly delineated. I think also two pages is probably the golden rule. But if you're a chief executive officer who's done two or three mergers and acquisitions, you're going to be three pages. But I think the thing that we both as recruiters agree to is that brevity is key, but content is more important. And that is, what is your value proposition? What are you trying to tell me about how much you can bring to my company in excess of your cost to my company? So what's that value and how does that compare with other candidates I'm seeing as a recruiter? And why would I want to present you versus the other 300 resumes that have come in? Why would I look at yours?
Yeah, I mean, have your accomplishments, your qualifications. You want those front and center. There's a saying, like, if you fold your front page of the resume, everything above that top of the fold is your most valuable area of real estate. So you want your best stuff up there so that we, when we're scanning it, we can see, oh, okay, he saved the company, you know, $2 million, or they've done this for the company. They generated all this revenue, or whatever that might be, whatever your value proposition is, whatever your superpowers are, we want to be able to quickly identify that, right? And we can't do that if there are large blocks of text. And I've seen plenty of resumes where they just go on and on and on, this, you know, this big paragraph of words. In fact, there was one example where it literally was just words separated by commas, where I guess they were just trying to utilize
stream of consciousness thought.
They weren't even sentences. They were just words separated by commas.
You and I as recruiters really do see the ugly of the, you know, they don't know what they don't know. And it's such a shame because many of them have great skills. They just have no clue how to brand or communicate those skills. Tell me about headers. What information do you think should be in the header of a resume that helps you as a recruiter?
Sure. I mean, it might sound obvious, but having contact information, right? I've seen plenty of resumes where they don't have the phone number or email right up there. Where, you know, so how are we going to contact you if you don't put that up there, right? So that happens, and it's surprising, but it does.
What about LinkedIn profile, Andrew?
Yeah.
Should that be up there too?
Absolutely. Yeah, have your LinkedIn URL up there, and make sure that that URL is customized to you. You know, it's your name or it's relatable to you. It's not just a long string of letters and numbers. So have that up there along with your phone number, one phone number, the best number to reach you, and an email address. Titles are great too. I mean, if you're targeting something, it's like you've been, you know, consistently promoted up through the ranks of their company from this to the manager level to whatever level, and you're really targeting that next level, and that director of HR title is what you have applied to, that's great. We know that that's what you're targeting, right? Let's talk about that. Have you done what we need you to have done to effectively promote you or represent you for this role?
Do you as recruiters sometimes look at a person and say, they're not a fit for the role here, but I know another role over here that they're a great fit for? Do you do that? Do you switch them over?
All the time. Yeah, because, you know, there are some, you know, there's easily dozens of different opportunities that we're working on, right? And not all of them are posted, right? So they may apply to one position, but we may have three other positions really similar to that, right? So we could be talking about this, but you know what? I think you're a better fit for this other role that we have, right? So, and in some cases, it's like, well, yeah, I think you're a good fit for both of these roles, right? So we can really have the conversation and really talk about either one of these. And that's fine when that happens. It's a really marketable candidate.
Yeah, we do the same thing too. We try to be as precise as we can. And I know that I've had a number of clients who have taken the resumes and a company will say, hey, you're not a fit here. Thank you for applying. And their heart drops to their stomach, but then they get the but we're going to create this position over here because your skills are what we need for the strategy we're trying to achieve and go forward with. So it happens on the job seeker side as well. I just wondered about the recruiting side. We're still on resumes. So what are your pet peeves about resumes?
So, okay. So, yeah, I've seen some of the worst resumes of my career, you know, doing executive search, right? And, you know, some of the things I see that's just really just, you know, drives me crazy. They don't have a degree, but it looks like they have a degree on the resume, right? And then you find out after doing your due diligence and asking the right questions, you find out they don't actually have a degree. That's frustrating because you spent 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, on the call already. And then it's like, well, we can't really present you to this client if you don't have a degree, because that's one of the things that you need to have, right? So that is definitely something that stands out.
Can we just dive a little deeper into that one, Andrew? They have everything else. You've got your checklist. All recruiters have the checklist for the job description, right? How much interpretive freedom do you have to go back to the company and say, look, he doesn't have a degree, but he put this much top line, this much bottom line. He's a great team player. He plays well with others. Will you consider him? Do you do that?
Sometimes, if there's a little leniency there, I mean, that'd be great. Because I've talked to plenty of candidates that don't have a degree that are really strong candidates, you know, besides that, right?
Yeah.
So it would be great if we can still present them. But so there are some clients that, they, you know, that's, you know, minimum qualifications.
Right.
They need to have a bachelor degree, right? Well, then, you know, there's really, because, you know, they're paying us. They're paying us to present to them rock star talent. And so we need to present with the strongest talent we can.
I know when we're working with clients as in our retained search division, as you all do, we review their job descriptions before we accept the assignment because we're concerned that somebody's gone through a checklist. Okay, has to have a master's degree. Why? Is that part of the real function of the job, or is it just somebody saying, oh, we need more master's people? So we really look at that. And I wonder if you find that with master's more than not having a degree. In other words, they may say, I need a master's degree, but they really don't. Do you find that to be the case?
Well, most of the time, when it comes to master's degrees, I mean, it's preferred, right? They'll say it's preferred, right? Just like, you know, when they say, you know, we want somebody with a CCP is preferred or an SPHR is preferred. They often don't say it's mandatory that they have that. It's a nice to have type of thing. If it's not a mandatory must have, right, you know, it's okay if they don't have it. But if they do have it, well, that's great, right? We definitely want to highlight that they do have that master's degree or they do have that designation, certification, whatever that is, right?
Sure. We'll round up back to pet peeves. You said that not having your degree on there and trying to make it look like you do. What are some of your other pet peeves?
Oh, you know, putting on, you know, putting the references on there, or even saying that references are available upon request. Well, you know, of course they are.
Of course they are. You know, no, I'm not going to give you my references. Come on. Oh, I hope our listeners aren't feeling like we're too cynical, Andrew, but we've been at recruiting a long, long time. These are just the things we see. You know, it's like the doctor, it hurts. Well, then the doctor says, don't do that. So we're
right.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's right. That's right. So it's just, yeah, it's not a terrible thing. I mean, it's like, okay, you know, I know, you know, maybe they, you know, don't know, but you know, you don't need to put that on there. It's just taking up space, right?
One last thing, what other pet peeve or something that they're doing that is not correct, or just don't do that?
Yeah. So just grossly unqualified, you know, resume or untargeted.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We've all seen this. An HR, you know, director of HR position that we're recruiting for, and somebody who was an accountant someplace, you know, is applying, right? It's just like, okay, this is, you know, they didn't take the time to really read the job description, to target their resume, or maybe they just really just are not qualified for that role, but they're still applying for the role anyway. So we see that all the time.
Well, here's the other side of the coin. I look at it as a company owner and I say, okay, let me see. This person has no qualifications and they didn't read the job description and they applied. What kind of employee would they be if they don't read and don't follow directions?
Yeah, that's another good point. That's another good point.
Yeah. Folks, yeah. We have spent a wonderful time here with Andrew Coe. Please look on the guest biography section of the website. And if you'd like to get a hold of Andrew, I'm sure he would like to talk with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you for visiting with us. We welcome your comments and suggestions and look forward to having you join us soon at Workplace Strategies.